Good morning. Today is Monday, the 2nd of March. My name is Chris Hutton, and this is the latest risk alert from the Center for Risk Analysis. This is a service for CRA subscribers brought to you every Monday morning at 7 a.m. by the CRA, helping you make better decisions. Before we begin with this week's risk alert, a reminder that CRA clients have access to more budget analysis, including the 2026 budget macro review via the CRA website. CRA clients also have access to our bespoke briefings, including on topics such as the budget, as well as our 2026 strategic intelligence briefing, Pulse of the Nation. Contact us today to book a briefing for your business. Now to this week's risk alert, we begin with the latest developments in the races to be top dog in the DA and the ANC, respectively. Next, we analyse the 2026 national budget, and we close with the latest in the conflict between the US, Israel, and Iran. The Democratic Alliance leadership race offers some glimpses of how the party might position itself in the future. As had been widely anticipated, Jordan Hill Lewis, the mayor of Cape Town, announced on Friday that he would run for the position of party leader. He will likely run uncontested. Three of the four priorities he named in his announcement suggest that he will pursue some subtle shifts in emphasis if elected. The first priority is a continuity claim. The DA must continue governing well. The next three describe areas where Mr. Hill-Lewis sees room for improvement. The first of these is that the DA must get better at creating a connection, quote, with the millions of South Africans who have never voted for us before, end quote. He points out that many people see the DA as distant and feel a disconnect, which the DA will have to address if it wants to grow. The second is that the DA should play a more assertive role within the government of national unity. While endorsing the party's decision to join the GNU as having been the correct one, he says that, quote, a DA that drifts along quietly inside the GNU, end quote, is weak, and vows that a DA under his leadership will work, quote, to shape the direction of government, end quote. This is intended to send a message to DA supporters who have become concerned that the DA is being co-opted by the ANC and possibly signals a new chapter in the nature of the GNU and how the DA and ANC relate. The third priority he identifies is the lack of a purposeful and positive vision for South Africa. Quote, there is a strain in our politics that thrives on decline, that says the country is finished, that nothing can be fixed, end quote. Mr. Hill-Lewis rejects such defeatism, vows to restore hope, and wants the DA to promote a, quote, can-do mindset and a willingness to confront problems head-on. In his opening remarks, Mr. Hill-Lewis also drew a distinction between the DA and groupings that promote cultural, ethnic, or regional divisions between South Africans, saying that such individuals and parties, quote, keep telling us that one group or community is the problem, or that these are the ones you should blame, end quote. In contrast, the DA's vision is one of a South Africa, quote-unquote, filled with good people who, quote, share many of the same values and want the same thing, a country that works and a sense of hope that our future is getting better, end quote. The African National Congress, which can feel the DA breathing down its neck, will be watching its rival's evolution with close attention and some trepidation, given its current weakness of form. The ANC's own leadership election is still a long way off, scheduled for the end of 2027. But manoeuvres have already begun as rumours continue to swirl that mining magnate Patrice Motsepe, an early beneficiary of the ANC's black economic empowerment policies and President Ramaphosa's brother-in-law, will run for ANC president. A new website launched last week at the address pm27.org.za describes PM27 as a, quote, movement to rally South Africans behind Patrice Motsepe, end quote, with the purpose of promoting Mr. Motsepe as, quote, the most credible, unifying and visionary leader to guide the ANC and South Africa into a new era, end quote. It is unclear whether the site is backed by Mr. Motsepe. In polling done by the Social Research Foundation in November last year, Mr. Motsepe was the preferred pick for ANC leader, with 22.5% support of all respondents supporting him. He was followed by the party's Secretary General, Fikile Mbalula, at 18.5%, and its Deputy President, Paul Mashatile, at 13.3%. When respondents were asked who they thought stood the best chance of becoming leader, Mr. Motsepe was chosen by 21.8% versus 19.4% for Mr. Mashatile and 17.3% for Mr. Mbalula. While both Mr. Mashatile and Mr. Mbalula represent the entrenched party establishment, Mr. Motsepe's stature as a relative outsider, as well as his track record of success in business, could stand him in good stead if the party concludes that it needs a new broom to clean out the rot and restore to its winning ways. The national budget, delivered on Wednesday by the finance minister, Enoch Godongwana, struck a positive note. Buoyed by surging gold and platinum prices and a slight lift in economic activity, revenue outperformed projections. Gross tax revenue for 2025-26 was revised up by 21.3 billion rand, driven by stronger than expected collections from net VAT, corporate income tax, and dividends tax. This windfall allowed government to scrap the 20 billion rand in provisional tax increases flagged in May of last year. Personal income tax brackets and rebates were fully inflation adjusted for the first time in years, and medical tax credits were increased. The limit on tax-free savings accounts was lifted from 36,000 rand to 46,000 rand, and the retirement fund deduction cap was raised from 350,000 rand to 430,000 rand. Some capital gains exemptions were raised, including those on primary residences, up from 2 million rand to 3 million rand, and on small business sales, up from 1.8 million rand to 2.7 million rand. The only tax increases were inflation-linked hikes on fuel levies, alcohol and tobacco excises. The debt-to-GDP ratio is projected to peak at 78.9% in 2025-26, declining to 77.3% in 2026-27, and then 76.5% by 2028-29, the first stabilization in 17 years. However, there is some doubt over whether the debt projection will hold up, because Treasury has tended to underestimate the debt growth trajectory. Hitting the target will hinge on sustained primary surpluses, lower borrowing needs, and stronger revenue, all of which depend on a higher domestic growth rate. 2026 GDP is forecast to grow by 1.6%, possibly then keeping pace with population growth, while the medium-term growth forecast is 1.8%. The consolidated deficit is projected at 4.5% of GDP in 2026-27, falling to 4% and then 3.1% over the next 2 years. Treasury's point of view is that South Africa has quote-unquote turned a corner compared to where it found itself after the COVID-19 lockdowns. But while some of the headline-grabbing numbers are positive, South Africa's underlying economic illnesses and fetters on growth remain untreated. And finally, last week we flagged that the United States was poised to strike the regime in Iran. On Saturday, the 28th of February, that blow fell. US and Israeli cruise missiles and bombs struck government and military targets. By Saturday evening, Iranian state news confirmed the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei's death. In his first address following the strikes, President Donald Trump called on the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, Iranian armed forces, and police to lay down their arms or, quote, in the alternative, face certain death, end quote. To the Iranian people, he said, quote, when we are finished, take over your government. It will be yours to take. This will be probably your only chance for generations, end quote. Retaliation from Iran hit US bases and civilian infrastructure in countries including Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Qatar, drawing strong condemnation from those countries and strengthening an anti-Iran regional coalition. South African citizens in the region have criticized a lack of official communication and support from South Africa's diplomatic representations. Immediate economic fallout from direct and proxy Iranian retaliation could affect global oil supply and prices. South Africa is especially exposed in this scenario, given the country has only one operational refinery and is dependent on imported oil and fuel. The events currently unfolding in Iran will reshape Middle East power relations and have global repercussions. Iran has played an important role in driving hostility towards Israel, in supporting Russia with military technology, in supplying China with cheap oil, and in funding and supporting terror organizations globally. The ANC and South Africa's Foreign Relations Department have maintained a close relationship with the Iranian government and its proxies. All of these parameters are now in flux. We will keep CRA subscribers up to date with the latest analysis as events unfold. That is all from us for this week. We wish you a successful week ahead, and we'll be back with you next week, Monday morning at 7 a.m. sharp, with the latest risk alert.